ways. Anyway, it can feel that way, like the earthly project and goal that seemed to be of global progress, halting and slow, yes, but progress nonetheless, seems to be reversing course, or perhaps not so much reversing course, but beginning on a newer and more terrible course. The anarchy of each to their own, of the great and glorious human family divided back into factions, whispering the alluring lie that all of my problems are because of those who are not like me. And perhaps if there was not my neighbor, then I would be okay. Yes, these days make it easy to wonder, is there going to be a future for my child? If the world as I have known it is coming to an end, or perhaps has already come to an end and I am just not yet willing to admit it, why not just hang it up? Why not just hang it all up? Care for those who are closest to me. Leave the future, leave the world to its own ending. Our faith has a story about this, about the end of the world, several stories, actually. And they are, to put it mildly, strange. We heard Ashton read one for us, stories of fantastic beasts, wings and tusks and talking horns in the Ancient of Days, dragons and trumpets being sounded. And lest I am tempted to dismiss this as some sort of side issue to the faith, there is even an account of the end of the world that's in the Gospel of Mark, spoken in the words of Jesus himself, saying, in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in heaven will be shaken. What? In heaven's name? Back to the book of Daniel, though, there's enough there just in that one passage. It describes a series of beasts. Four beasts, each stranger and more horrible than the one before. The first beast, it is described as a winged lion with the mind of a human being. It sounds like some sort of terrible dream. It's easy in the present tense to try to find things that I might apply that to and plop them down on top of each other, but for those who read this book in its original time, a winged lion with a wise human face, this is actually not an uncommon sight at all. These are all over the place. It's called the Lamassu. Lamassu statues were very large and, frankly, very well made. The Institute for the Study of Ancient Cultures at the University of Chicago has two of them. Because the museum was free and I went to public school, this was an at least annual field trip for me to see these Lamassu statues. You say to someone living in ancient Israel, oh, there's a winged lion with the face of a wise person. They know instantly what you're talking about. Yes, it's a Lamassu. They're everywhere. Okay, so it's a Lamassu. Why is it in this story about the end of the world? Well, it's because these statues, they were made by the Assyrian Empire, who put huge statues that looked just like this all over their empire. When they conquered a place, they put up these Lamassu statues. And Assyria had conquered the kingdom of Israel. It was the end of the world as the people knew it. Their laws, their government, their peace, their safety, it was over. Everything that they had built, ground down to dust. And all you would need to be reminded of that ending was this statue of a lion with wings. And, oh, by the way, they're every place. Ditto for the creature with 10 horns. That's a stand-in for the Greek Empire, the coins of the so-called Seleucid Empire. It had images on it. There were just nothing but horns. 10 horns for the 10-king dynasty that was inaugurated by Alexander the Great. Everybody had to start using that money once Alexander and his army came through. Conquering Israel, it may not have, frankly, been a particularly noteworthy event from Alexander's point of view. From his point of view, this was just another day. But to the people of Israel at the time, Alexander ground them down to dust, ended their world as they knew it. And all you would need to be reminded of that ending was that 10-horned image that was on the money you had to use to buy bread. A reminder that your world had been brought to an end by someone stronger was never farther than your own pocket. Beginning to notice a pattern here? Conquered by Assyria, conquered by Greece. These apocalypses, plural, they talk about the time of the ending of nations, or if not the ending of a nation, then at least a vast change of that nation that leaves it unrecognizable. These visions, these dreams, these apocalypses of the Bible, the biggest and easiest mistake is to believe that they're talking about the future. To believe them as talking about the future, it is to miss the whole point, and it is to miss the grounds for hope that is in the apocalypse itself. To think about it as the future is to miss the point. First, apocalyptic literature is always talking about the past, meaning the past from the perspective of the person who wrote the book in the first place. This is a twice removed past. For us reading it today, the book of Daniel was written in a long distant past, and the author was talking about events that had already happened. The Assyrian Empire had conquered the people of Israel long before the book of Daniel was written. The Greeks had conquered the people of Israel long before the book of Daniel was written. This is talking about the past from the point of view of the author, a past twice removed. It is talking about a time when the world came to an end. But wait, how does that work? How can a person talk about the end of the world and talk about it as the past? How can the end of the world be something in the past? World's still here, right? In each of these visions, there are these fantastical beasts, yes, and they stand in for nations, yes, and those nations did indeed romp all over everything and bring an end to the world as the people had known it. But the end of the world, that is not the point of apocalyptic literature. The end of the world is not the point at all. The point is what comes after the end of the world. And what happens after the end of the world? God shows up. After the world has come to an end in these passages, it is only then that God makes an appearance. When God shows up with her angel armies to set things right, or God, who is the one born of a woman, judges and makes justice, it is only after the world as the people had known it came to an end that God arrives in the story. The people of Israel, conquered by Assyria, they had been a proud nation. Now all they had to look at were these lamassus everywhere. They had been ground down to dust. The people who had been conquered by Greece, made to use this 10-horned money just to buy bread, ground down to dust. It is only after, when God shows up. These apocalypses, plural, they are about times when the world came to an end, and the people lived to tell about it. The people lived to tell about it. The world as they had known it came to an end, and the people lived to tell a better story about it. The apocalypse. We leave so much behind. We miss the point, and we miss the hope if we think about this as something that's going to happen in the future. As something that's never occurred, that no one has ever seen, things beyond the imagination that might be on the horizon and that will come, to think about it as the future misses the point and misses the hope, because the world has come to an end over and over and over and over again. And the world as it is now, it will come to an end. And God will be in the midst, and the people will live to tell of it. The apocalypse is here. It's in the faith. It is a part of the faith. For when I stretch my reason to its limit, looking for things that I can do, that I might set my mind to, put my power to, find ways to make the world turn out right. I stretch my reason to its limit for what I can do, and my reason says, give it up. Yes. For those days when my reason tells me, just focus on caring for your loved ones, keep them out of the path of all this harm, what can you do on those days? The apocalypse in the faith, the story of what God will do after the end. It tells me on those days when I cannot think my way to hope that God has a grander hope than what I can think up on my own. The faith that is engendered in the apocalypse is one that refuses to give up hope in a better world, even when there is no earthly reason to hope, especially when there is no longer any earthly reason to hope, that our hope can only be in heaven's name. That is what the apocalypse is for in our faith. To remember that nothing can stand in the way of God, not even the end of the world, because this has happened before. Over and over again, the changing of nations, the moving of one empire to another such that life is unrecognizable, maybe even an ending. This is highly precedented. Yes, we are living in days that makes it easy to wonder, is there a future for our children? If the world is coming to an end, what then is there for me? In these stories, in these old, old stories, we hear that even if the world shall come to an end, if what we have known come to an end, even should the world come to know, and even if the world shall come to be ground down into dust, the voice of God says, I am the one who creates with nothing more than dust. Even should the world come to an end, we will start from the dust of what once was and make something new. Amen.